Judges chapter 6, beginning at the 11th verse. And you get there, you're not there yet, you'll find these words. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Can I just go to this other verse? Help me, somebody. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come thee, and bring forth my present, and set before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes to an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto the oak, and presented it. And the angel of the Lord of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon the rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire. Are y'all listening to me? Mm-hmm. There rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the 11 cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Mm-hmm. I want to stop the 17th verse. I said, I'm going to give y'all the whole context. Mm-hmm. Gideon just asked him, okay, you say you're going to be with me. How I know you're going to be with me? All right. Don't you ask God if he's going to be with you. He'll show you. Amen. If you done forgot something, he'll show you. Amen. What you say. I put a tag on this text. The Lord will never leave you.
All right.
The Lord will never leave you.
All right.
Take your seats in the presence of the Lord.
The Lord will never leave you. Yes, sir.
The Lord will never leave you.
Thank you, Lord.
Church, I would suggest to you that one of the most prolific and powerful and pervasive promises of Scripture is a promise that we serve a God who will always be with us.
Yes, yes.
You can't go too far in any direction in Scripture and not be reminded that God declares from the throne room of heaven that he will always be with us. He tells us in Psalms 23, when you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you don't have to fear because God is with you. Jesus tells us as he gets ready to ascend to heaven and his disciples that, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth.
Amen.
He reminds us as he speaks to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I am no more present with your predecessor than I am with you, Joshua.
Amen.
God is with us today the same way he was yesterday. He reminds us that through the prophet, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you go through the fire, I will be right there.
Amen.
When you go through the waters, I'll be right there.
Yes.
When the doctor says it's cancer, I will be right there.
Thank you, Lord.
When mama breathes her last breath and daddy gives up the ghost, I promise I'll be right there. It is the promise that caused the children of Israel to sit down, New Jerusalem, and write in Psalms 139, where can I go from your presence?
Yes.
Where can I flee from your spirit?
Yes.
If I make my bed in the highest height of life, God is there. If I wake up in the depths of hell, God is still right there. We serve a God who is so much with us that when he makes himself incarnate in Jesus Christ, he gives him the name Emmanuel to remind us that God with us. His name was Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Our forefathers and foremothers hung that promise that God would be with us so much, believed it so much, that when they put pen to paper to write a hymn, they said, I've seen the lightning flash.
Yes.
I've heard the thunder roar.
Yes.
I've had felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus say, still to fight on, because he promised never to leave me.
Yes.
Never, never, never alone. God promises to stay with us, church. But we can be honest on a Sunday morning. There are some seasons of our life we go through when it seems like God has reneged on his word. How about talking to myself? What's up with this God? You have been through some storms in your life and it feels like God has forgotten about you.
Yeah.
I will talk for myself since y'all can't say amen.
Yeah.
I've been in some place where I've been so hurtful. I've been so hurt, so bitter, ugly, and so mean that it was hard for me to see the face of God.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to hear the voice of God. I did not feel like God like I used to. I wasn't feeling him, Angie. I wasn't feeling him. I did not see the miracles of God unfolding in front of my very eyes. I know you too holy to admit that you've ever been like me, but scripture testifies that the children of Israel got there when they were in Babylonian exile.
Yeah.
I preached this thing already to y'all.
Yeah.
They sat down and said, how can we sing praises to our God in a foreign land?
Yeah.
But the text told me that, hey, just because you're in a foreign land, don't mean he's a foreign God.
Right.
He'll never leave you.
Yeah.
Don't forsake you. Because they believed that where they were, God was not with them. Many of folk have forgotten this. The Bible tells us that Job got there, the holiest man in the Bible. When he began to lose everything and struggle and suffer, he says, I looked for God, but I could not find him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not in front of me, not behind me, not on my left, not on my right. God, where are you with all this hell breaking loose in my life?
Yes, yes, yes.
Just in case you don't remember, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while on the cross, dying, his humanity screams out, my God, why have thou forsaken me? I got a feeling that there's some of us today in this sanctuary. If you are not here now, you've been there before. And you are on your way soon if you have never been there. You have been in some place of life where it seems like God is not there. If you feel like you understand what I ought to, that I ought to hang out radio, because you can find some kinfolk and a brother named Gideon.
Yes.
Let me give you the background so you don't miss this breakdown in Judges chapter 6.
Yes.
Let me tell y'all a little bit about Gideon.
Yes.
Gideon was a military and spiritual leader who delivered Israel from 7 years oppression by the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him with strong words of encouragement. Gideon destroyed his father's altar to Baal and erected an altar to the Lord. Then at the command of God, he reduced his army. Watch y'all, I know y'all wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
His army was 32,000 people.
Uh-huh.
Gideon reduced the army from 32,000, y'all mean, to 300.
Yeah.
What you say? To face the 135,000 Midianites.
Yeah.
The Midianites outnumbered Gideon's band 450-1.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, God gave the victory to Gideon. And his dedicated men.
Yes.
After the victory, Gideon was invited to become king, but he declined. After After getting retired to his home, Israel was blessed with 40 years of peace after that. Gideon is included in Hebrews Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, for his faithful deeds. Now, you got 135,000 enemy troops coming against you. And God said, reduce 300. I said, God, I love you, but wait a minute. What weapon of mass destruction are you going to give me here? Because what you say, how are we supposed to do? Fight hand-to-hand combat? Remember now, y'all, they ain't have no rifles. No M60 machine guns. No Apache helicopters. No ships offshore. No, this was hand-to-hand real combat, Brother Anderson. And it was 300 of y'all. That was a move of God. See, y'all didn't think about it. That was a move of God. And before God can move, he had to believe God can do it, Deacon Fernando. As a result, God has allowed the Midianites to come into Israel to take over the land. We find out while they are under Midianite oppression, they have to hide their resources. So one day, Gideon, the son of Joash, is out in the wine press threshing wheat, trying to hide their resources from the Midianites. Because what the Midianites would do, once they get their wheat, their resources, and their food together, they would take it from them. Because they figured if they don't give them sustenance and substance, they will weaken the men. If the men are weakened, they think that they can control them. I would sound like a black thing. Am I with y'all? Y'all with me? What did they used to do to the slave? The less they gave us while we were picking cotton, they thought that was gonna weaken us. But guess what? We thrive under oppression. Why? Because we know somebody who sit high and look low. They got a witness here. So the angel of the Lord shows them and says, Gideon, God is with you. Gideon's response is not to praise the Lord. No, Gideon go and ask the question, if the Lord is with us, why in the is this happening to us? Gideon hears the declaration of the promise of God's presence. When he says, there's no way you can tell me God is with me when all of this is happening to me right now. Don't he sound like he testified for us? How can you tell me God is with me when all of these enemies around us? How can you tell me God is with me when I've been laid off? How can you tell me God is with me when the doctor is giving me bad news? How can you tell me God is with me when I'm going down through all of this? Gideon makes the very human assumption that many of us do. I'm talking slow. I know I'm a fast talker. That is, we assume the presence of a problem is synonymous with the absence of God. Because if God is with me, none of this would be happening. The fact that it's happening must indicate God is no longer here. Gideon, like many of us, has lost sight, sense, and the security of the presence of God. That means to me that I'm going through all this hell and high water right now, and I'm so focused on the hell that done broke loose that I can't even sense God. Nowhere does it say in the Bible he left me. It said in me, the problem lies in me. I can't sense him. God been telling me all along in his word. He said, when you can't trace me, boy, trust me. That means that there gonna come times that you can't feel God. We like to feel stuff too much. Get on the feeling and walk by faith and not by sight. Mess the devil up. All the devil can do is mess with your physicalness. Y'all got me? He can mess with your physical, your sight, sense, and your mind. But he can't get into your spirit because you're anointed and called by God. Okay. We assume, as humans, the presence of a problem is synonymous with the absence of God. Because if God is here, none of this should be happening. The fact of the matter is, to indicate we no longer, that God is no longer there. Gideon, like many of us, feel that God has left. Church, that is a dangerous place to be in.
Yes.
In life, for us to be.
Yes.
When you lose sight, sense, and security of God being with you. When you lose sight, sense, and the security of God's presence, helplessness and hopelessness sits in.
That's it.
Y'all got that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You believe you must handle life on your own terms. Because God is God. When you lose sight and sense and security of God's presence, despair and darkness take over. You begin to believe no way tomorrow can be better than today.
Yeah.
Want to know how people commit suicide?
Yeah.
Right there.
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopelessness and darkness is a dangerous place to get in.
Yeah.
You will want to do stuff you would not consider otherwise. Yeah. I tell you, come to Bible study, come to Sunday school. Wash your mind in the Word of God. Constantly wash your mind. You're under spiritual attack. Depression is a spirit. It will get on your back and break you. Many people have walked away from the Lord, given up and turned into their discipleship, when it seems like the Lord has forgotten about them. That is why I stopped by here this morning to let y'all know that not only will the Lord find a way to direct your path, not only will he always find a way, but he always finds a way to deliver us.
Yes. Yes.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
God also always finds a way to disclose his presence.
Yes.
Because the Lord knows when you are in a place where you feel that God is not with you, you are in a dangerous situation. He knows we weak and he's strong. So the Lord will always find a way to let you know he's right there with you.
Yes.
That's why I had to read the rest of the text to compile it in those those seven verses. Gideon said, okay, hey, if he with me, how will I know he with me?
Mm-hmm.
The angel said, boy, the angel showing up would have convinced me, Brother Hudson.
Yeah.
If an angel show up and tell me it's green, the sky is green, I walk and see blue, I say, I see blue, but you tell me it's green, it's green.
Yeah.
The angel, the presence of the angel.
Yeah.
What? But you tripping. You got an angel standing in front of you. You say, okay, I know God's with me now. Okay. I'm so glad you decided to come this morning, y'all, because you are privileged and you get to hear God use what me to tell you how you know he'll never leave. First one, you know, the Lord is with you by the punishments he has pardoned. Do you understand me? The punishments that you should have got, he pardoned you from. You done screwed up, messed it up, sinned, went down to your lowest depth, been disobedient, but yet you still walk around here like you ain't never did nothing. Don't you take it for granted now because you woke up this morning. Y'all ain't kidding. Sister Thomas, I've been here this my fourth year, right?
Yes.
Now pastoring this church 4 years. I found that New Jerusalem is one of the greatest churches I've had an opportunity to belong to.
Amen.
And I thank God for my being here.
Amen.
But in my 4 years of pastoring, Reverend Lyles, I found out something about this church that I need to tell you all. I've been in 4 years, been in meetings behind closed doors and in the parking lot. I learned some things about this church that Sister Fia probably can't find in her book that she been recording, because she record everything. She can find something. What I'm about to tell her, Sister Fellow, Deacon Fellow, is some stuff that she probably didn't even know. She couldn't even find in a history book, because she got all the history books too. We can keep this to ourselves, because it's going to be the family here.
Amen.
There's a dark secret about this church that many of you don't know.
All right.
But I'm going to tell you the truth. Y'all ready for that?
Amen.
Deacon Furlough?
Yeah.
Mean you don't walk out and get it. Anybody you see come by me, I say see, that's right, I know you can see. You hit them with your cane if they come by me.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be mad. That's what I'm about to tell them, Deacon Phillip.
Yeah.
Deacon Fredo?
Yes, sir.
This church is full of a whole bunch of sinners.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, from the pulpit to the pew,
all right,
ain't nothing but sinners up in here. From the choir stand to the deacon stand to the usher bench back there, ain't nothing but sinners in this place. This church is filled with some dirty, rotten sinners, including the one sitting in your seat right now.
Come on, man.
I know I'm right about it, church, because the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 3 and 23, for all have sinned. And the way the text is written in Greek, watch this now, watch it. The way the text is written in the Greek is, you know, Pastor, can I teach it? When you look at the grammar and the tone of this text, what it really means is that all have sinned, all are sinning, and all will continue to sin. Because this church is filled with sinners. Can I push it a little envelope? You have sinned since you came to church this morning. And this is when you're trying to do your best. If you walk in here with a bad attitude, acting like you're so depressed, and you got so much going in your life that you can't come in here with a spirit of praise, you done sinned. Oh, I ain't done yet. You ought to been coming here with a spirit of thanksgiving. If you didn't do that, you already sinned. If somebody spoke to you and you did not speak back, or you halfway spoke back, you have already sinned. If you have an issue with somebody and you gave an offering before you worked, watch this now. If you got an issue with somebody, this Bible, and you came up and gave your offering before you worked it out, you have already sinned. Because before you bring your sacrifice to the Lord, you're supposed to get your heart right. Oh, I love the Bible. If you wrote tithe on your envelope and it was not the full 10%, you have already sinned. If Sister Boom Boom or Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome caught your eye and you're trying to figure out what you're going to say to them after the benediction, you have already sinned. I'm taking this because church full with sinners. The reality is, because of our sin, we deserve to be punished. I'm not talking about a slap on the hand. I'm not talking about some divine timeout. The Bible says in Romans 6, the wages of sin is what?
Yes.
Death. Yes. That when sin, that when we sin, we deserve to die.
Yes.
Think about how many times you let God down every day.
Yes.
Think about how many times you knowingly, willingly, and voluntarily went in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Think about how many times you sinned, then count up the fact you have never reaped everything you sowed. I'm trying to let you know you've seen the thing, God ain't with you. This ought to change your mind right quick. Am I helping somebody?
Yeah.
You don't feel him, but he with you.
Jesus.
Think about how many times you didn't reap what you sowed. If you feel you have never sinned, seeing God move in your life. If you feel like the Lord has taken his hand off of you, if you feel you have not seen any miracle of God, if you look at the problems in your life and assume God is not with you, let me tell you how you know God is still with you. If what I just said to you has not convinced you yet.
Amen.
You laid yourself down last night.
Yes.
As a sinner.
Yes.
And woke up anyway.
Yes.
Yes. Even though the Bible said you deserve to die. In case you have not figured out how that happened, the prophet Jeremiah made it real clear.
Yes.
If you did not get it from Jeremiah, you got it from this hymn. how great thou art. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, help me somebody, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. Another writer wrote, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Which means every morning you wake up, you see new mercy given you by the awesome God. Not all mercy, not leftover mercy. You did not wake up on Sunday morning with Wednesday's mercy. Help me somebody. You didn't wake up this morning with Wednesday's mercy. With new mercy. That means last night, somewhere between you, when you lay down, you your head down, and when you woke up, the Lord showed up. Deacon Frollo, he showed up by our bedside and sprinkled new mercy to enable you to wake up this morning. You trying to help me preach this thing. Thank you. If I didn't say thank you enough, God, I should have been laying dead, sleeping in my grave. Here's another one. God is with you. From what he has proven in his past, Gideon asks a question that has its own answer in. He says to the angel, if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening?
Come on now.
We're all the miracles our fathers taught us about. Saying the Lord brought us up out of Egypt. Notice the angel never responds to where the Lord is. Because he looks at Gideon as to say, you ask a question where the Lord is, and you remember the Lord brought you up out of Egypt. Can you repeat that? You ask the question where the Lord is, then you ask the question, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? You're looking for the Lord, but you remember the Lord brought you up out of Egypt.
Yeah.
The angel suggested to Gideon, when you have trouble finding God in your today, you ought to have good enough of sense to remember something that happened in your past. You ought to have a flashback pattern. To remember yesterday what the Lord has already done. And know that the same God that brought you up out of Egypt is the God that will carry you through whatever you're dealing with right now. Can I get a witness in here? That's why I came right this morning and let somebody know the Lord has been working in your life a long time. The Lord has been answering prayer for you a long time. The Lord has been fighting your battles a long time. The Lord has been making a way somehow for a long time in your life. You are a sad saint if you let a momentary, temporal situation cause you to get amnesia. You are a sad saint if you let a temporal situation get you to get amnesia. You gotta fix your face. Correct yourself before you wreck yourself. God don't deserve your attitude. Especially, I'm gonna get in your business now. Especially since you brought yourself to the problem anyway. You brought yourself to this problem. You started a solution. You got enough word in you, but you don't want to do nothing about it. But she doesn't hurt to do what God asked us to do. You think it's gonna be easy? Surgery is not painless. Anything you gotta cut off, it gonna hurt. You may go into anesthesia, but after the anesthesia wear off, you gonna know you went through some surgery. But it's still for the better, because that what was ailing you has been removed from you. God's, I've been fighting your battles a long time. I'm making a way out of no way. Is there anybody in this church that can say the Lord has been working on me a long time? He's been moving my mountains. And the ones he left, he gave me the strength to climb. me help somebody else. The angel suggests to Gideon, the hand of the Lord has been on your life before he called you. God has his hand on your life before he gave you life, your life to him. When I did not go to church and when I did not pray, I did not want to read my Bible. Being a preacher kid, didn't read my Bible, didn't go, I was hanging out. God still had his hand on me. He's just that kind of God. I can go on and be here for 2 more hours. But I say, but I tell you what, if you ain't got it yet, the God is always there. Jacob says, Deacon is fellow, that he's Jehovah Shammah. He's our ever-present God. Y'all ain't hearing me. He said, when you don't feel God, he's right there. He said that when you don't know what you're going to do, God has already made the decision for you. He said, lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I tried him for myself, church. I'm not telling you just what I read, but I tried God for myself. And I know that he's a good God. He's a man that cannot lie. He'll show up in the midnight hour. Wipe your tears away. Give you strength in your back, but walking in your feet and clapping back in your hands. God is all of that. Never leaving nor forsaking. And what I like about that, Sister Martin, is that if he said to me in life that he'll never leave me or forsake me, watch the shout now. I'm about to go to my seat here. Sister Martin, if he says to me in life, Warren, I never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm an ever-present God. That gives me encouragement, because if I'm in life and God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And because he's a spirit, he's speaking to me about spiritual things, Latonya. That means when I get on my dying bed, can I get a witness of it? When I begin to get my last breath on this earth, and I reach to the last of my day, he'll be with me to greet me.